sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Monkey sword, monkey sword fight, fight, fight. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the Monkey Sword Fight podcast with me, Jordan Patrick, and my co-host, Mr. Michael Dots.
He's I and I'm him.
Andy Mark on the ones and twos, as per usual.
What's happening?
We're also joined by local poet and performer, Rana Marathon. Hello.
Hello.
How you doing?
Good, how are you?
Good, aye. Got this, we're sort of shooting together an episode, because Mike's working schedule, so...
They don't need to know that.
Yeah. Just that you're holding us back, Ras.
Oh, sorry.
But Rana had agreed nicely to come along and speak with us. We spoke about it before when we had... Alex on Bart, right, was on talking about the CX3 and the Countercultural Collective, which you're a part of and performer with.
I am, yes.
So we start off right at the beginning.
The Dots Daily.
The Daily Word with Dots, and then we'll come back.
Weekly Word with Dots.
Weekly Word with Dots.
The secret to your success is found in your daily routine. Simple this week.
I like that when you posted that on Twitter the other day.
Yeah.
You're releasing the goods early.
Yeah, I know, I am, yeah.
How did you feel after that?
I don't know.
She look kind of worried. I know you guys can't see.
What we always do is we never actually explain the weekly word with us. We just go to it. And we're just like,
I know.
What the fuck is going on?
What am I signing up to?
A weird self help group. Well, every week Mike takes us by the hand and gives us something to just get us through.
Nice.
Yeah, and now since we're doing this on Sunday, this will get you through your week. Hopefully, get your routines in check.
Megan refers to this as the part of the episode where she goes,
oh. Is it cringe? Thanks for the feedback, Megan. Thanks a lot.
Well, we got the feedback. Who's been?
I actually just got some feedback hot off the presses from our good friend in Ireland, Andy. Oh, I hope the dog didn't just wreck the
dog.
Andy did listen to our last podcast with Grant.
Nice.
And he said, really good pod episode, bruh. Spelled B-R-U-H.
Oh, wow.
I say bruh. We joke around with that. There's three stages of the bruh. It's breh, B-R-E-H, bruh, B-R-A-H, and bruh, B-R-U-H.
I always thought bruh was more of like a shock and awe type thing. Like, bruh.
You're right.
Whereas bruh is the more informal, all right, bruh.
Yeah.
Is that, am I right?
You are right. I'm glad other people feel that way. So he said, really good episode, bruh. Bruh, there's three states. I'm just joking. He says, maybe we want to travel to Perth and hit up that barber's. So he's done a great job.
I know he's Liam from the Hurricanes, who's a barber. He's Mrs. Levette's faithful as well, as Andy Henderson.
Oh.
They were like close. That must be big props.
Ooh, maybe I should have said that.
You don't cross a man's barber.
He got his barber.
Oh, shit.
Yeah, that was a really good episode. Yeah, I know. I have to say that because I'm a part of it, but it was good to listen back.
Yeah, I just got a message from Rachel after the week, my pal Rachel, just at work, because then a message came up and I him just saying how to unstraighten a 2-year-old with about 18 laughing faces. I was like, taking that as positive.
Yes.
She also had some good feedback, and I forgot to bring it up last week, about the whole Kendrick Lamar situation.
Okay.
She thought that it was out of order for him to have pulled her up on stage in the first place. And second of all...
Because she was white?
Because she was white, yeah. Okay. If he knew what song she was going to do. The second of all, she thought, and maybe it might mispronounce this, but it's a case of, if the guy's putting it in his music and people are going to come and see him, then he has to maybe be prepared to maybe educate and be more vocal about how using that word.
Before, in his career, within his career leading up to that.
Exactly, okay. So if he's going to use it in music... then it doesn't give the person the right to say that word, but at the same time, doesn't mean that he can then condemn someone else for saying it if it's in the same context that he was saying it.
Well, Ron, how do you feel?
I don't know what you're even talking about.
So there was a rapper who's black named Kendrick Lamar.
Yeah, I know who he is. Yeah.
Okay, so he was on stage and there was one of his songs where the N-word is said quite a lot in it. Mm-hmm. So he brought a white girl on stage and singing along, he asked her to sing along with it.
Mm-hmm.
But I assume he thought she was going to edit herself out during that part when those words came up. So, like, think about it, like your own work. Uh-huh. Like, how would you feel, like, if there was something within, like, some poetry that you said, and then someone else said it at a different point, maybe not on stage with you, but I said it at a different point, and there were some things that felt personal to you. Would you not even put that out there for people to hear, or would you expect people to kind of say, all right, well, this is something that belongs to her, so maybe I shouldn't say it?
I don't know, I'm a bit confused.
Oh, yeah, I didn't explain that very good. So, like, with him, He brought the girl on stage. She said the word, and the crowd kind of got.
She was saying the word.
She brought it up to rap along with him, and she said the word from the
ring. She said the N word.
Yes.
Right. So were people annoyed about that?
People were annoyed about it, and he told her like, don't say that. Kind of edit yourself. And I think she said it again for a second time, didn't she? And then he kind of had to get her off the stage because people were getting ratty.
Okay.
So as an artist yourself, do you feel that he had a right to do that, or was she in the wrong?
Were people offended by her using that word then? Yeah.
Yeah, the crowd was booting off.
Yeah, right, I thought
we were trying to like boot her off the stage, that kind of thing.
Yeah.
That's what I said. For sure, just don't say it.
Yeah.
Like,
that's the best way.
I can only imagine what I would do in that situation. I would just go, and carry on to the next bit. Do you know what I mean? But like, at the same time, it was the biggest grey area for me was they're both at fault.
I agree, they're both at fault. Yeah, it's stupid to me.
That was part, not to go back over it again, but that I thought was an interesting point from Rachel.
I had some feedback. Not feedback, but we had a conversation publicly on Twitter involving somebody. Who was it? I don't forget who it was. And you said that, no, I don't offer you any drinks when you come to my home and we do this podcast.
Is that why you offer me a drink?
Let's clear the air.
Sucker, you fucking honey dicked me there.
Yeah, I see an empty glass in front of me right now.
Fizzy Ribena and a clean wine glass, and then decides to mug me off.
Our guest liked her tea that I made for her as well.
I thought it was suspicious she would offer me a drink, but I was like, don't be a dick, Jordan, don't bring it up. That's classless, is what that is.
No, what are the rules? Everyone can chime in here. What are the rules on people helping themselves when they come to your home? Like, you are weekly visitors. Andy's shaking his head.
You only ever invite us into the podcast. Say that much. Yeah, Andy.
He did say the Champions League final, but you couldn't make it.
Oh, that's true. Yeah.
I'm sorry. I'll tell Riley next time to make his birthday a different day.
That would help.
He's 9 now.
That's your fault. That's your fault too. Procreating during that time of year.
I remember I watched the Champions League final 2009 with him literally a day old in my arms. I was like, that's Messi. He's fucking brilliant.
Not better than Ronaldo. But anyway. So what's the rules on letting people in your home, or when should you expect someone to come into your home and make something, a cup of tea on
that? I would usually just say, do you want a drink? And if I'm doing something, I'll be like, you know where it is, help yourself.
Okay.
Or just let them know to help themselves. Whereas people, it doesn't matter if it's like your oldest friend in the world. You say, am I alright to grab myself some juice?
Yeah.
Maybe not actually, no, my oldest friends don't give a fuck.
Yeah.
I don't even say hi to them before going checking their friends.
Yeah, I'm like that.
Maybe I feel more comfortable within our friendship than you do. Because if you were to come here, like,
are you trying to cause beef or something?
No, I'm just saying. I would expect, maybe I wouldn't do it at your house because we're here more, right?
Yeah, that's true.
But if you were to come in and say, hey, I'm thirsty, I'm going to get some
sure
water.
I offered you a drink. Everything that we recorded this at my place, I offered you a drink.
You have? Yeah, true. Yeah.
That wasn't fair, man. Maybe it's just an American thing. But
what the fuck is that supposed to mean?
No, okay, right, okay. Next time I'll just come and I'll bring I'll help myself.
How dare you? Don't do that in my home. No, I'm joking.
Well, I'll make myself a drink next time. I'll ask you if you want it.
Please do.
I think Andy Mack had some exciting news just before the podcast. We had an email.
Oh, yeah. Somebody
you seem surprised.
You're still with us, Andy.
Yeah. Sorry, I was just on Twitter there. Gary Monroe emailed in. Long-time fellow ex-Team Cow member. So, shout-out to Big Gazza Monroe. He's wanted added to the World Cup sweepy, which we've prepared for later in the show.
Oh, yeah.
So, those who have entered and have been entered without their knowledge will have teams at the end of today's show. So
thank you for listening,
guys. Last one standing will win a premium mystery prize.
That's right. Premium.
Premium.
I think Gary had some feedback from last week, too.
He did.
Because he gets his hair cut at Badlands as well. He says, you got a new subscriber, mainly due to Badlands Barber Insight. By the way, whenever Brandon finally shows his face, it would be good to know the best time to book in my monthly appointment. So.
Next week.
We're going to have people lining up my door every time we have them on. So
That's enough of blowing our own horn, I reckon.
Yeah, cool.
Formalities out of the way. So without further ado, without just rambling on at you, we'll introduce and speak to our guest. Because you've just let him listen to us three idiots fucking mumble on.
Sorry, that's my fault.
No, it's great times. So we'll go right back to the start with it, and you come along, like you say, you come highly regarded by our very
highly recommended. Yes, she's very good at what she does.
Thank you very much, Andy.
So you're a poet, performer, writer. So we'll go back to how did you get into writing? What is it that you do, and how did you get into it?
Do you know what? I've always wrote poetry since I was like a wee girl at school, and I just never ever thought of anything of it. Mm. You know, like, I would write it in people's cards, and then I decided a year ago that I fancied going to an open mic night and actually doing it in front of folk.
Yeah.
Mm.
And then I done it, and like, folk liked it, and it was a good buzz.
Was it just a spur of the moment thing, or was it anything that actually just said, come on, fuck, I'm going to go and have a go at this?
Aye, yeah, it was just a spur of the moment, yeah. Totally was like, fuck it, why not? So I went through Edinburgh to this place called Inky Fingers, and I done it there and first time, and then I done it the next month, and I met this guy there who gave me his card, and he was like, you were really good, I'm going to have you in doing some other shows. And I thought, oh, this is right. Really good. So, yeah, he's got me involved in, like, fringe events and...
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah, performed at the Traverse Theatre in Edinburgh, along with doing stuff in Perth,
mm-hmm.
and starting my own poetry night as well here in Perth.
Is that the one at Blend?
Blend and Stand Out, yeah.
So you throw a little plug in there for yourself. What
Blend and Stand Out, and it's the next one, we run it once a month, and the next one's on the 6th of July, and it's doors at 6:30 till late. Bring your own bottle,
which
is even better. Free entry, and it's local musicians, poets. That's
awesome. So it's just like sort of an unplugged sort of...
Yeah, it's a really, really good night. A really, really good night.
So you said you went to Edinburgh for the first time. Was that to kind of distance yourself from like the Perth scene? Just to say like, if this sucks,
there wasn't anything in Perth.
Oh, so that's why you went to Edinburgh. Yeah. Okay.
There wasn't anything in Perth at all for this sort of thing.
Yeah,
yeah.
Ken, there was open mic music nights, but the poetry nights that they run that I have since been involved in that are like run by Culture, Perth and Kinross, that aren't Culture, Perth and Kinross.
We've talked about this at the time, a lot of things like this, like you've said this before, Perth's not always a very progressive town. We talked about it with Grant on last week as well, like, especially when it comes to business, and
it's shocking.
I mean, at the time they closed down the Ann Summers, or what was the most recent one?
What's the Sun Shack?
There's a Sun, you know where Fit for Less is in the town, where the gym is in the town.
Yes.
There's a new tenants or yeah.
Why'd they close it?
Well, they've not closed it, but they've got like the window stickers, and it's a girl in a bikini.
Yeah.
Oh God.
So there was like a counsellor standing in front of it, saying how offended he was that this woman was standing in a bikini. And I was like, I'm more offended by the fanny standing in front of
you. Yeah, I'm more offended by you being fucking offended. So I Perth's a nightmare for her. So how long did you do it before you thought, fuck it, I've got to try and do something else with Perth? And I know, because you were with the Counterculture Collective guys, Alex, and performing that. Was that like, because obviously theirs is quite a heavily influenced hip hop performance. So was it just to me, was like, that's great, but...
No, do you know what happened? I go into Blend all the time for my coffee.
Great place.
It's really a great place. Coffee. And I was speaking to the guy, Sandeep, that runs it in there. And he was like, oh, what were you doing through in Glasgow? And I said, I had this gig and this is what I do. And he was like, well, why don't you come and do something here? And I was like, really? And he said, aye. So I was just like, all right, I'll see what I can get together. And I thought, well... Why not? They're giving me the space. They're allowing us the time on a Friday night. Let's just see what I can pull together. And first night, it was like brilliant, really good.
Right.
So and then it was just like the folk were like, "So when's the next one?" And it's just like we're on our seventh one, and it's just growing and growing.
Well, I think the first night always is like when it would have been people who are maybe already in, and then folk you brought on the way, and then things like this are always word of mouth, and it just spreads out.
Yeah.
So do they stay open later for your things?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. So they're not open that late.
Yeah. Well, they are open late on a Friday night.
Mm-hmm.
But for that, for our thing,
a little license, very good. Oh, that's good.
Oh, yeah, it's awesome.
Good to have someone backing you up like that.
Yeah, it's really good.
So, do you do like any promotion outside of like, let's say, normal like Facebook or social media, or do you do like flyers and things like that?
No, I've not had any flyers done. I need to get some flyers done. But the last one we done, we were listed as the biggest weekend, one of their mini fringe events.
Yeah, I did see that. Yeah.
Yeah, so that was good exposure for it as well.
Oh, that's awesome.
Yeah.
So did someone contact you about that? Or
no, well, I was supposed to be on a panel for the BBC contacted me because they'd seen me on the news when I was doing my poetry on the bus. And
wait, what happened with that, the bus?
Yeah, so that was with another... That was part of a platform festival that was run in Perth and Kinross which is to do with this culture person Kinross as well. So we were doing poetry on the bus.
Okay.
And music on the bus. And somebody had seen me from the BBC on it and contacted me and wanted me on a panel with these rappers to discuss expressing yourself through words.
Yeah.
And they said about being a part of the Mini Fringe event as well, for my event. So that's how I got involved in that.
Brilliant.
Oh, yeah. But it got cancelled because they didn't get rid of enough tickets.
Oh.
She was like, if this had been Edinburgh or Glasgow, this would have been a total sellout. Mm-hmm. And I was like, yeah, that's Perth. That's Perth.
Yeah. That's annoying about it. But like, it's good to see something like still, do you know what I mean, going at it and pushing it out there. And I must say, have you noticed maybe people that came along the first time just to watch and that are maybe starting to now, like, edge closer to coming on and doing something and performing?
Yeah, well, we got one guy came up and done something for the first time. One of the guys that actually works in Blend wrote a poem and he's going to come up the next one and do it. Yeah, like people that...
That's how it works, isn't it? You see someone, that's why there's always been a good music scene in Perth. I think that's because there's gigs on and you see people do it, so you can go and give yourself a bath, but like with the hip-hop night and like the poetry night now, is it's given for us that, well, there's something I can do, I might as well give it a bash.
Yeah.
Because we've talked before about stand-up and stuff, and we're always joking about that. We've written wee things down, but there's nowhere in Perth to do a bit of fucking stand-up
poetry. There used to be. Yeah. There used to be at
come
the
and
times.
Blend and do a bit.
I know.
Actually, that's a good idea. Yeah, to throw that in.
I have so much written down, but it's probably like 7 minutes in total, and I'll be sweating.
I listen to this podcast where like they draw random comedians' names out of a bucket, and they have to do a minute of stand-up, and then they get critiqued by a panel of professional judges.
Yeah.
And the amount of people that go up thinking they've got about 3 minutes worth of material, and they're like, that's been done, how long's left? And they're like, you've got another 35 seconds. I guess it's like,
got to do some crowd work after that. Yeah. Like, who's from out of town?
I've got like notes upon notes on my phone of things I think might be funny. And then I'll say my message, she'll be like, I'm like, okay, that'll do that.
That's cute.
So, is there, I don't know what I'm going to say, but like, is there any of your plans? Are you going to keep rolling with this, trying to make it a bigger platform, just keep introducing more people, or is there things you want to do to like,
well, we were part of the Recap Festival, which is also another spin-off to this culture, Perth and Kinross, and we done a gig in one of the Vennels.
Mm.
The Vennels down beside Marks and Spencer's.
Oh, right, yeah.
Because they're wanting to try and use public spaces like this.
I suppose they've just revamped that whole bit as well, so they'll be trying to get a bit more flow going back and forward.
So we were commissioned from them to come and do our Blend In Stand Out there, which was, like, brilliant.
Aye.
So, yeah, it's just... I've been so busy with college and stuff. This is just—it's just been really—it's just grown organically, really. I don't know what I see for the future for it.
Mm-hmm.
I've not really thought that far ahead.
It's the way that it's progressed naturally so far. There's no point in trying to change it too much. Obviously, you've done so much with it so far, and I see your college as well. So it must be fucking.
Yeah, but I just finished on Friday, so that's me done now until September.
Woo! I mean, you've got that same relaxed look in your face, Andy.
Yes.
Andy came in last week. He was just like,
"What do you study in school?"
So I'm a massage therapist, so now I am a soft tissue therapist, and next year I'll be going back to do my diploma in sports therapy, so dealing with sports injuries.
Oh, that's cool. That's
and
awesome.
Rehab and prehab.
Fucking
yeah.
I heard a funny joke about, not really funny, but about like a massage therapist. You would come home and you would expect a massage, but they probably wouldn't want to give you one. But like a boxer, you don't want them to kind of come home and like do what they do.
No, that's what you do. I do items that wouldn't just quickly rub my shoulder and they just went,
ow!
You know what my boy did to me yesterday? He was just sitting on my knee and we're at my cousin's house, we're just chatting away. And out of nowhere, I feel a stabbing pain. That little bastard ripped 3 hairs on my leg. Just talking about. After throwing sadistic kids last year, I just popped in my skull. But so
sadistic kids.
I've had a couple of beers, guys. So it was just a year ago you started. So, ladies, but you've been reading everything. So, did you used to just keep journals on them all, and you've just decided to?
Just writing them in a book and on my phone.
Mm-hmm.
Just when they come at me.
Yeah, I was going to say, are there things that inspire you, or do you set aside time like, all right, this is my time to write today or this week?
Well, I'm actually in the process of writing a book.
Oh.
So.
Just like a book of poetry or
an actual book, with poetry mixed into it.
Yeah.
Because when I was at the Traverse Theatre in Edinburgh, there was a press company, Luth Press, that seen me there and they were like, right, do you want to write a book? And we'll like publish it and stuff.
That's awesome.
Fucking hell, that's amazing.
People are just throwing themselves at you here.
Yeah,
like,
no, it's great.
Come to our place, have a book here.
You just have to look at someone just like,
this is what we want the podcast to be like. We want people to come give us stuff. Just say, hey, come here and perform.
I hope people are giving us this criticism.
I have now, but like, I need to sit some time aside and write stuff in this book that I'm meant to be doing.
Mm-hmm.
But my poetry is just like, just comes to me and I just say, oh yeah, and I just write it and I'll write it within minutes.
What's like your favourite thing that you've written?
Week three. My favourite as well,
yeah.
So it's about, it's a poem about enduring the menstrual cycle. And it's called Week Three.
Okay.
Reckon my girlfriend would fucking love to listen to
it. Would you like me to do it for you?
Oh, yeah, I didn't want to put you on the spot, but
yeah,
dive in.
Please.
Let's set it up, and then when I finish saying it, well, we'll snap like they do like in the things. Right? So this is Run a Marathon with Week Three. It's not a snap, you assholes. What are you doing? Okay.
Dinna be fucking with me if I'm on week three. Do you hear me? You better not come near me because I will make you teary. I'm so snappy, I'll snap ya. So crabby, I'll crack ya, smack ya, pull out a knife and fucking hack ya, attack ya. I can't help it. This chemical imbalance, have you ever felt it? Trust us females to be the ones that were dealt it. Aye, and look at your face, it looks melted. I'm sorry, I didn't mean that. I'm not mean that, that's not me that. Can you please see that? I'm welling up, the cheeks are swelling. Not a canny hood it back, fuck. I'm greeting for nae reason while I'm in season, close to committing a treason. The tears are streaming with no fucking meaning, needing some semen with some screaming while I'm wheeling and dealing with my feelings, needing healing. I'm heeding. Woo! What a relief this release. I'm glad I didn't breach the peace and nobody phoned the police. But if somebody doesn't get me some fucking chocolate, they're going to end up deceased.
That is awesome.
You know, is that related to being on the, I've been on the receiving end of that conversation?
Several times.
That's fucking brilliant.
I make myself scarce during those periods. No pun intended.
The period before the period.
Yes.
Yeah. Walking.
That was really, really good. Yeah.
That was sensational. I give it a fact. As soon as my missus hears this, she's going to look me up. Fucking spot on.
You're going to have at least two new friend requests. That was really good. That's awesome.
I love that. So it's like, you always see a lot of these things. I think maybe poetry sometimes get a bit of a negative spin when it comes, like when you see them. Maybe like, I don't know, TV shows or movies or that. So is it try to create more of a relaxed atmosphere, more of a gig-like atmosphere where people are confident to go up and just, like say, like just let it out?
Yeah.
Yeah.
A relaxed, non-judgmental environment that, people feel comfortable about getting up in front of the mic and not like,
right.
Which is what it is like. But once you just get past that, like, folk love it.
Right. You get the bug.
You get the bug. You do get the bug.
Have you ever considered acting at all?
I would do it.
You would do it.
I would do it.
Not something that you actively seek, though. No.
Nobody's come at me with any acting gigs.
Oh, yeah. We're waiting there.
Me neither. As soon as the dad board came in, they just stopped calling. So is that the type of thing you like to write about? Can it just be literally anything that just a thought will pop in your head and that'll be it?
Yeah.
How long did it take you to put that together?
Minutes.
Yeah.
Minutes. That's like,
was it during week three when you wrote that?
I can't remember, actually.
There's a podcast I was to by a guy called Blind Boy, who's in the band The Rubber Bandits. They're a bit of a comedy duo, but like the music behind their beats is actually brilliant. He's from Ireland, so it's podcast, and he calls it being in a state of flow. He goes, there'll be times you sit there, because he wrote a book, and he goes, usually when I'm writing lyrics or songs, I'll be in this certain type of mood and it'll just fall out of my pen, and I call that being in a state of flow. But since I've had to write the book, I've had to sit down and naturally find it, so I don't have to rely on certain stimulus like having a shite day at work, being on week three, do you know what I mean, things like that. So do you find yourself, now that you've started doing it a bit more, you're starting to sit down and try and tap into that without having to be sort of randomly spurred on?
It just comes to me, and I don't sit and force myself to write something, because I don't think it would come out very well.
Yeah.
I've just been kind of performing the stuff that I already know, which I'm quite confident in doing.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, I just...
Just things around you just can sometimes just spark a thought.
Usually if I'm out walking or I'll think, right, I could write a poem just while I'm walking on my phone.
That's what I used to do. I used to get bits like this. Usually it was either on the bus or like just before I got my bed. And I'm frantically trying to find my phone in the dark to write something to. And then I wake up in the morning, I'm like, the fuck is that? So, is there been any, so, do you listen to a lot of music yourself? Is there like certain artists or even poets that you've read in the past or seen that have sparked an interest or influenced the way that you try and write things?
No, I wouldn't say that I'm influenced by anybody. It's definitely just like my own style, but I didn't listen to poets until I started doing this, performing it. It wasn't really anything. I didn't think of it as anything.
Mm-hmm.
And I like listening to a lot of music as well. Yeah. A mixture of music.
Mm-hmm.
There's not anything particular that I prefer over something else. Mm-hmm. It just depends on what mood I'm in.
Who's your favourite poet?
Victoria McNulty.
Okay.
Have you heard of her? Not.
No. What about her do you like?
I just like her style and the way she carries herself on stage and her confidence. And
she was on the Rappers versus Poets thing, wasn't she?
Yeah.
On the BBC.
Yeah, she's I've heard of her, probably one of the biggest names in the spoken word scene at the moment.
I'm going to write that down right now.
Victoria McNulty. And she's performed at Blend a couple of times.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I'm sure it was to meet her.
Was Alex?
Yeah.
Oh, cool.
Yeah, well, actually, I performed alongside her at the Traverse Theatre. That's how I met her, and that's how I'd first seen her work.
Yeah.
But yeah, she's been at Blend. We get quite a lot of people coming from Glasgow, Edinburgh, Dundee to perform.
That's brilliant.
Because
that is
it's a night that's not happening. I mean, there is different poetry nights happening throughout Scotland, but none like this.
Mm-hmm. Is it more of a story?
It's an experience.
Yes. I'm going to have to fucking come down.
Yeah, I might
it's
check that out.
It's an experience, yeah.
I'm just going to have to add it to the list of things that we're going to try and find time between work, children.
Yes, I know. Work, children, and podcasts, I guess.
I know. I'm going to be really strange having a Tuesday night when we come round.
I know.
Because we're going to have to record on
you can still come around if you want.
You're
I'll make the drinks.
Oh, yeah. I'm working shit. Just leave us a key. We'll help ourselves.
You're helping yourself either way.
That's brilliant. So, yeah, so the book as well. So is that going to be... Is that have you got like a date or they just said, like, if you can bring us the material, we'll get it out to people?
I want to get it done before I go back to college in September.
Mm-hmm.
You'll need to.
I'll need to.
Yeah, totally.
Aye.
Because it's like the stuff you're waiting to do next year is going to be really...
Yeah, full
pretty
on.
Deep stuff. Eh?
So yeah, that's my goal, is to try and do it before September.
Well, we'll get you back on when you're done.
Yeah.
We can talk about it, we'll plug something.
You can buy a copy.
Fuck it, yeah.
I'll sign it for you.
I'm still waiting for Barclays EP as well.
Yeah.
Yeah, I'll need to chase him up, see what he's doing.
It's going to be another Chinese democracy, right?
No, it won't be. It's finished. It's all done. He's got everything there.
I'm excited. I remember when we got that. So I'm definitely, like you say, you came highly recommended from Alex, and after listening to his stuff as well, I'm looking forward now to coming down and having a look.
Yeah, we'll definitely check that out.
Send Mike up. You could probably say anything in that voice of yours.
I know.
And people would just be like, oh, fuck.
I always find it interesting, like, even with sitting with Barkwright and now sitting here with you, it's like when people come off, and even hearing you do your poem, when people are really passionate about something, they make you want to do it, you know what I mean? Like, after we sat at Barkwright, I was like, let me fucking write down these bars right quick. Let me put this rap song together. I got like one sentence.
Days after that episode, I had a shiter at work. I was walking down the road furious, and I sat and typed this massive thing on my phone. I was just like, I feel much better. I'll hide that.
It's good to get it out, isn't it?
It is, yeah.
Maybe one year I'll show it to somebody just before I die.
Can I ask you a question?
Go for it.
Do you ever feel sometimes when you're writing, it's like, you know, because the guys are sort of asking, do you think about things, or, you know, is there something that maybe sets off the writing process? Or do you ever just sit there and you're like, I have to write right now? I don't know what it's going to be, but I just need to start writing now.
Aye. Sometimes I do get a bit like that, actually, yeah. And then something will come and it'll just be...
That sets it off.
Just like the avalanche effect. It's like you'll write one thing down and then it'll...
Aye, like I could be raging about something.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah. Totally.
Cool.
That's super creative. Just to know, like, you have a blank canvas in front of you and something's going to happen on
it. Me and Mike realised very quickly that neither of us are creative. So what we thought we'd do, if we to start something like this, we can then talk to creative people. And then people will start to associate us with those creative people. Yeah.
And then boom, hopefully someone will... We'll be at the Fringe Festival doing a live podcast.
The thing that got me the other day is that I was listening to this podcast I think is really successful. And all they say is, there's no money in this game either. And I'm like, what? What am I doing? No, but so, that's fucking, I'm really excited to go down there actually.
Yeah, I'm definitely down to check that out. That sounds pretty good. Yeah.
I have to scale up. I'll add in with the other things that we do. What else do we do?
Not much.
That's fair. But, hey, Mike, can I help myself out a drink?
You can, yeah, dive in. So, are we moving on from this now, or does anyone have any more questions for our guest?
No, Andy, I'm not going to go for a drink with you.
Now, actually, what I'll tell you there was, Rana was the one that had sold poems to the council and offered to take me out for drinks and something to eat. And in her message she said, don't worry, it's nothing sexual. And I was laughing. Because I knew it wasn't, and then Senwell, I said, no, don't do that. Take it and take out your kids. Do something with the kids. And I was like, don't spend your money on me. But
well, mate, you're a beautiful bastard, Julian.
Oh, I'm a nice guy. I just want to ask you about that. The poems that you sold to the council.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
What was that all about again? Can you refresh my memory, please?
So that was... So I was at the poetry night at the AK Bell Library, which... It was an open mic night, but nobody knew about it apart from the folk in the council. So I done this poem that's called Public Services, and it's like slating the council to death, to them all sitting in front of me, and it was like you could see their faces. Like, so then after that, I got somebody contacted me, and they were like, "We want to use your work for staff training purposes." Because it's really thought-provoking and it really makes people sit up and think, like, what their jobs, how their jobs actually affect public.
It can probably become quite easy to the public just being that pain in the arse when you're trying to do your job and it's forgetting your job is to serve the public, huh?
Yeah. So they bought them off me, two of the poems, and then she was like... We can't actually use them because it's Take Your Child to Work. Because they were going to use them as in a silent disco in the museum.
Mm-hmm.
And it was Take Your Child to Work Day that day. And there's a lot of swearing in it. So I was like...
Fair enough.
Most things council related do lead to swearing.
I was like, okay, well, I mean, that's fine. But she wanted to use them in smaller groups. So, yeah, so they paid me for...
I thought you were going to say they wanted to buy them so that you couldn't say them publicly. No. You know what I mean? But they have the rights to them.
It's brilliant that you do that because that's... I love things like that when you've actually, because a lot of people would say, I've got this opportunity to say something to the people that I've been complaining about, but they might not ask me back, so I'm not going to do it. So the fact that you went up and done it, that's fucking cool. Like, that is brilliant.
I just done it, I thought, fuck them. Fuck the lot of them.
I've seen on Twitter this comedian was at, I was at a gig, I was doing a gig the other day, and there was two Tories in the front of my show. And they were trying to like act like they weren't impressed. He goes, I've heard, one of the Tory guys goes, I heard you're offensive, tell me your favourite swear word. And the woman just went, food banks. And the guy just got up and left.
Food banks.
I was like, oh, that's honestly, that's fucking cool. Like, you just feel DOS afterwards, just like.
I was a little bit drunk afterwards. I had to make a swift exit before I vomited somebody's face.
It's a bit of an insult. I had to clean it up.
Insult to injury. Yeah.
People kept stopping to talk to me. I'm like, oh no, I need to get out of here. I need.
That's fucking sensational. Well, again, anyone got any more questions?
No, that was good.
Well, thanks very much for coming out. I hope you'll stay and listen to me and Mike now talk absolute nonsense.
And chime in, yes. It's sort of set us straight if you need to, yeah.
Yeah, that's why we brought Andy in with a laptop. So we can say something, Andy, but no.
Yeah.
Fact checking.
Yeah, no. So, speaking of kind of being on stage and, you know.
I love your segues, man.
Yeah, speaking of being on stage and performing. We all know Beyonce and Jay-Z were in town, and
do you mean
Bay-Z? Yes, the On the Run tour. One thing that bothers me, and tell me what bothers you, like people with their phones up recording the show as it's on there. Do you get that when you perform at all?
I hate that.
Why don't you just go and enjoy the show?
Yeah.
Like, what's the point in recording the whole thing? Especially when people do it, like, live on Facebook. It's kind of like, all right, I can watch Jay-Z on YouTube. I don't need to see it.
I was guilty of it when I first started going to gigs, and that became a thing on your phone. You know, because the first, when I started going to gigs, you didn't have a video phone. And then as video phones came in, I said, oh, I'm going to take a video of this. And after I was looking at the video, I was like, that looks shite to what I remember. So I've stopped doing it now because I think it's right. It's just, who gives a fuck? Just, if enjoy you're that bored about telling people you're there, just check in.
Yeah.
Or take a photo. And then put your phone away and carry on.
Taking photos at a gig, I think, is acceptable.
Yeah.
Acceptable. Not, you're obviously not going to be standing there like...
Do you think you experience it the same way if you're filming it?
Well, every time I've watched the video I'm just like, that sounds pish because the sound's not going out the speakers right. It's just a bloody shape moving around. Yeah. That might be Beyonce. It might be Jay-Z's arse. I'm not entirely sure. But
I think if you're close enough to take a picture, do that within the when they first come out on stage. It's probably the best time to take a picture. They're not sweaty yet. Whoever's performing.
Or they're not moving. And you're saying that with a bloody vision of someone's guitar.
Take that picture, put it in your pocket, and then just enjoy the show. Yeah. There's no point in doing that. Have you ever seen these people with that, maybe not at a concert, but they'll bring like an iPad or something, or a tablet to record and take pictures? What are you doing? Oh, it's like holding a newspaper above your head. It's like, no one can see anyway.
It's like selfie sticks. It's whenever I see someone holding a selfie stick, I'm going to whip it with their hand and beat them with
it. Like a baton.
Like, have you seen a lot of comedians nowadays that are doing, there's this new system. You get your show, so you get your phone taken off you and put in a Ziploc bag, and then the people lock it and give that bag to you.
Yeah.
And it can't be unlocked. So if you want to get your phone out, you have to leave the theatre and get these desk to unlock it. Yeah. So it's like a lot of big comedians are doing it now because...
When I went to see Chris Rock in January, he did that.
Yeah.
And it was a little weird because it was like everyone's so attached to their phones now.
Mm-hmm.
So as soon as you walk in, you put in the thing and then they lock it off. But they had little areas like by the bars when you come out of the actual where he was performing, and then they'll unlock it for you, and then you can use your phone or check your phone, and then they'll lock it for you before you go back in. But I did see, like, in the paper the next day, there was some guy who was like, oh, my dad was sick, and I was wanting to check on him, but they made me, you know, they made me give him my phone. I was like, well, first of all, if your dad's that sick, maybe you should be home with him. I know Chris Rock is great.
His new tour wasn't that great, so.
Dad, I know you're dying, but, you know, Chris Rock's in town. He doesn't normally come to this side. And number two, you can still go check on your dad. Like, you know what I mean? You can still go outside and send them a text.
You're always going to get people who complain about shit.
Oh, my shit.
Do you get a lot of folk taking... I'd imagine it would be different in the blend night, taking videos just because
that's... Nah, they do. And there was one time I totally choked. Oh. And I was like... It was a new poem I was doing. And I just went completely blank. And it was just like... distracted with all the phones in front of me. That's what it felt like.
It's the
and
pressure,
it just
right?
It threw me off and my brain just went blank completely.
So do you not I know in that situation, yeah, but do you not read, or do you not feel like it's good to read your poetry?
I don't like reading off my phone. I hate it. Right. I hate reading off my phone. I hate reading off a book. I like to just, I like to know it and just be able to do it.
Spit it out. Yeah.
Imagine it would make it unique every time that you did it if you're not reading it
verbatim,
because you've fallen out a bit of a habit. So even if you've got it memorised, you might make it a little bit different each time.
Yeah,
and it'll give you that ability to do that where you're constantly up and down.
Yeah, and you're not like...
I think it looks shit reading off a phone. So bad.
At least a bit of paper, at least you can make it look like it was a bit crumpled and worn. It's a phone you're sorting. It looks a bit
like you don't know what you're doing.
Annoy me, like, do you remember back in probably like the early 2000s where rappers used to go up to the hip hop station and they used to freestyle, you know what I mean? Air quote freestyle. And then once now that everything's social media and there's cameras in these studios now, and then you just see the guy like with the microphone, like looking at his phone, like going crazy, and you're like, that doesn't have the same effect.
No.
You know what I mean? Like it's still good, but it doesn't have the same effect.
Like a guy, a guest on a podcast I was listening to, is that I'm a champion battle rapper. And I was like, oh yeah, that sounds pretty cool. And the guys that do freestyle, I was like, no, they're all pre-prepared. I was like, I've got like millions of views on YouTube, because that's great. You can obviously write down things, but I like when you.
It's still tough, by the way.
Yeah, don't get me wrong, but it's one of those things where I was like, I prefer it if it was made a bit like you see the person for the first time, and then you have to go write.
Yeah,
I don't think your delivery, Rana, would be the same if you did read from a book or a bit of paper.
No, wouldn't.
I don't think it would. You know,
no,
doesn't feel the same reading it off.
No,
I'd done the last one. I read it off my phone because it was a new one and I hadn't memorised it and I wanted to do it. but it's not, I don't feel I've got the same connection with the audience.
Like, it's almost, like,
got yeah, because you've got your eyes on the audience yeah. when you're doing a lot of your stuff.
It's almost as though you could be reading anyone's work. So even if you're saying, this is an original piece I composed, folk could just think, she doesn't know that well, she's just fucking reading
yeah.
it.
She's on Google.
What was the guy, the Sheffield poet? It's not John, is it John Cooper Clarke?
Is Twat. He not the Scouse?
Twat, yeah. That's an official. Is he Scouse?
What's his name again? John?
Is John Cooper Clarke. And he done a poem called Twat.
Yeah.
Ah.
Yeah, that's him.
Yeah, it's John.
He done the Arctic Monkeys cover on his poems on an album. Like, they reworked it. It's called I Wanna Be Yours. And there's a video of him doing it originally in like the 80s or something like that. And it's just black and white. It's just him on a street corner. All the surrounding noise, cars, buses going past. He's just standing there with a fag and just. It almost looks as though he's rambling, but you can't stop listening to him as he goes through it.
Mm-hmm.
And I think you're right. If he was to, like, obviously you're going to write it down to begin with, but he's obviously memorised that, taken it in, and he knows how he wants it to sound because it's come from
mm-hmm.
his head.
Mm-hmm.
And I think, like you say, if you're to be like that, it would sound pish.
Yeah, you're not engaging the same with the audience.
Well, it shows as well that you've put the work in and you've sat by yourself and not rehearsed, but taken it in, made yeah. it, and worked on the beats and what you're going to move from next and things like that. So that's why I'd panic. I think I have the worst memory in the world.
Yeah, my memory's pretty shot.
Well, this is a good way to exercise.
I think that if I wrote something though, it would stick in my head easier.
I'll practice the thing that I've written. I'll have a whole bunch of beers and maybe I'll do it.
I'm definitely reading that, but I still think that it will come up. I once saw a comedian, because you know how comedians, they'll travel around and then they'll try different things out.
Mm-hmm.
He had a notepad like in his hand, and every time a joke didn't work, he crossed it out.
See, I think if you're making it a bit almost, that's
yeah,
you know,
what he
then,
did.
Yeah, so that worked, but it's again, one person get away that another person wouldn't, which is
so. We touched briefly there on battle rap. We know we talked about it a little bit with Drake and Pusha T last week.
Is that kind of died now? Is everyone?
It has, because Drake's OG said not to respond, which is fine. That's a loss.
You have nothing, so
yeah.
just be quiet.
I know, if you have nothing, just say you have nothing. But anyway, one of the things that came up, because Pusha T is not only promoting his album, but he's also talking about all this stuff.
Wonderful time for a beef, that.
Wonderful time.
Conveniently squashed just a few days later after you've had the millions and millions of hits online and everybody.
Oh, he didn't push it. He didn't. I think he was ready to go, but.
Didn't hurt him, did it?
It didn't hurt him at all. One of the things that came up, though, because he was talking about how Drake didn't. I don't know if you've heard it or familiar with this, but he said that Drake wasn't taking care of his kid.
Yeah.
And in.
Adonis,
yeah. In one of the interviews, he said, I wouldn't be friends with anybody who didn't take care of their kids.
Mm-hmm.
And I got me thinking, like, would that be a deal breaker for you? A friendship, yeah. Like, so you knew you had a friend, and let's say that you didn't know the circumstances. Not like the mom or the dad took that kid away, but
yeah.
he wasn't or she wasn't actively contributing to that child's life in any way. Is that a deal breaker for you?
Yeah, it is for me. Like, I think knowing how much, especially now that me and the wee man's mum aren't together,
mm-hmm.
going from being around them every day to having set time with them throughout the week, I try and make the most of that. So that, like I say, it's my perspective. I know how much my time with my boy means to me.
Yeah.
So if I knew someone who knew they had a child and they were not having time with that child, not like through their own decision, that'd be a big fucking no-no for me. Like,
yeah.
that would drive me. I just wouldn't understand, because if I lost any of the time with the wee man I've got now, it would drive me insane.
Yeah.
So I don't understand. I just don't, like you say, it's like things we've talked before. It doesn't click in my mind. I can't understand how that would work. So it would definitely be a deal breaker for me. Like,
yeah. Yeah, I agree. I mean, what if... I forgot what I was going to say.
This is how we roll.
Sorry.
I told you my memory was bad.
It's free flowing.
I told you my memory was bad. Yeah, I agree. It's definitely a deal breaker. Andalogs, you got anything on that?
I'm probably with you guys on that. I've not really got much to add.
Would you not want to engage with that person though?
Well, yeah,
like,
definitely.
Hey,
I'd want to listen. I'd want to speak to them and be like, what's the fucking crack?
Yeah.
But it wouldn't be a case of you're going to change my mind, because I don't really think there's anything that could be said that I think, oh, okay, that's fair enough then.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean? Because unless there's someone stopping you, like if the mum in the situation is saying, nah. And for no good reason, because I know there's people like guys out there aren't really see their kids for very good reason, because they're just arseholes. We all get plenty of those. But like, If there was no real reason, then it would be a case of sort your fucking life out.
Yeah.
You know, a bit too hard on that stance, but that's me.
No, that's cool. I just thought it was a bit pompous for him to say that, like, on his little tour. I think that it's... I just thought it was funny that a guy who used to sell crack is now telling us, like, hey, make sure you go see your kid.
Tell us who your moral compass is, yeah.
I may sell drugs to him down the line, but you make sure you go see him. You give him that pocket money so we can go buy crack for me.
One thing that I don't know if this ties in at all, but, you know, we love a segue. I was just reading before I came out, Eminem's been in trouble for using actual gun sounds at a music festival. And people have gone on about how it was triggering, and a lot of people like hit the deck thinking there was gunshots.
Oh, God, really? Find
that out. Yeah, really, like one last season, like, so someone in the crowd said they suffered from PTSD.
Uh-huh.
And because it was realistic loud gun noises in a crowded bunch of people, they freaked out and they thought it was in bad taste.
Mm-hmm.
And the way I thought of it was like, I can see what they're saying, but like, I've heard hundreds of songs that have got guns clicking as an effect.
Especially in Eminem.
So I don't think he would have thought, do you know what I mean? I don't think it would have been a decision on his part.
Oh, for fuck's sake. Okay, here's a quote for you. One of the guys, somebody complained here, so, quote, "I hate to be the one to say it, but being someone who suffers from very mild PTSD, it was, capital letters, extremely irresponsible and distasteful to end songs with the shotgun sound effect. I have grown up loving Eminem and his music, but I was extremely triggered to the point of tears."
But then he's got gunshots and, like, the criminal one.
Where is it? Where was the festival?
Somewhere in the States, was it?
Oh, so where guns are legal.
We'll be after a claim.
In a place where there are more...
festival, wherever that is.
But if it is in America, in a place where there are more guns than people...
I think that's the bigger problem, yeah. You have to worry about getting shy if, number one, guns aren't everywhere. We'll know what's coming from the song, because...
Well, it was the Frankie Boyle joke. I've said this before, and it was like, someone told me I couldn't tell a joke about Tories being paedophiles, and I said, if you've got a problem with that, stop fucking kids. So I mean, that's the whole point of it. It's like, if you're that upset about gun noises, do something about gun control.
He's ended that song, because it's the song Kill You, so I think that's what
it was. Always ended. Mother's,
is that the album, was it?
Yeah, it's Martha Mother's LP.
He's been doing that live with those gunshot samples for at least 6 years.
Oh, yeah, there were gunshots at the end of that,
It's always been.
And that album came out almost 18 years ago.
The argument is that people are sort of saying, well, you know, with all the stuff that happened at the Ariana Grande stuff in Manchester. And,
it could be real.
You know, the Bacalan thing in France a couple of years back.
That's what I'm saying. I could see what they were saying, but at the same time, I don't think he's went in there.
Look, here we are talking about two or three people out of a crowd of 60,000 who are having a little fucking tantrum because there was a couple of gunshots at the end of the song. Don't like it, well, don't go back.
The great thing about the internet is everyone has a voice, but the shite thing about the internet is that everyone has a voice.
There's three people.
But it just popped up, and I want to get your opinions. Do you think...
A lot of shite.
Andy's right, there's three people out of all those people.
Yeah.
That's what I just... Next time, do not go.
It said it was breaking news. I didn't think it was going to be a big stop topic, but I thought I just wanted to get an opinion on if everyone else thought,
Now I know why a lot of times, like, you hear stuff, stupid stuff like this, and, like, artists don't even respond. They're just kind of like, I'm not going to even give this the light of the day. Like, I'm not going to show it the light of the day because it's pointless.
Has he responded to this?
I assume not. No.
I hope he does. Yet. I'd like to also,
really
like
to
also
anyway.
Comment on Eminem's beard, which looks like it's been penciled in. I look, he's just doing like my hair brush and just like.
Do you not think
it.
He looks like he's a clone?
Yeah,
he does.
He
does.
He's like,
he doesn't look
pages.
Like Eminem anymore. He's and not
he's,
the same.
He's definitely had some work done.
He's dating Nicki Minaj now.
I know. Oh. What's that all about?
Oh,
that put me right on.
Wait, correction, Andy. She tapped the fuck out of you. See, now, I get it. Like, see, between
that,
her and Beyonce, even though you're going to be sat on the couch with my girlfriend, and then she'll just go out with my phone, she's like, look at that. And it's like a gif of Beyonce like sliding her arse doing something like that. Oh. What do you want me to say? She's like, look at her arse. I'm like, alright, cool,
It's not better than you, baby. Speaking of Jay-Z and Beyonce again for the third time this show, did you see the pictures that they've taken for their show? Like, there's one set of pictures where they're holding twins, which aren't their twins, because I got them released into the public yet. But there's another one where they're in bed. Well, there's two, actually, where they're in bed. Jay-Z's kind of smoking a cigar, and, you know, he's not clothed at all, but you know, she's kind of hiding his bits, and there's one where Beyonce who's has her backside facing us, which is a-okay. But anyway, there's a third one.
You link me up to this.
There's a third one where he's kind of just like, he's like naked and like just holding her, and it's kind of like, I don't want my favorite rapper doing this.
You know what got me?
I don't want Jay-Z holding, I understand Beyonce's great, but I don't want to see him in that way.
I was showing a GIF the other day, and it was them two on stage, and Beyonce's like rubbing up against them. Like,
yeah, I saw that.
Like every guy in the world wanted to be there, but I was just thinking, like, their kids have access to the internet. Can you imagine seeing your parents doing that in front of hundreds of thousands of people?
No, I know.
Do you know what I mean? Can you imagine? I'm almost glad they never had a son. Could you imagine boys like that? Here, mate, your mother.
Well, they'll know. They'll know what their mom's going to look like when they get older.
Well, what do you think Eminem's daughter thinks about the one that he done about... Well, about his ex-wife, Kim.
That must have been an interesting conversation.
Do you think that's maybe why he stepped away for so long? Because he kind of stepped away, because she's what, like 18 or 19 now?
Yeah. He had bad problems with drugs, because you remember that first album he brought out after he got clean, and it was woeful.
Which one was that, Relapse?
It was 2009 it came out. Was it Relapse? Because it was Relapse and then Recovery. Recovery was really good.
I thought Relapse was alright.
Oh my, the first time I got it, I listened to it and I was just like, it was like someone trying to write like Eminem, like we talked about. It was the first time he tried to just write without a stimulus, and it felt like it was just amateurish. And then I remember because he actually comments on it a couple of times in his later albums that was garbage. Like that album wasn't very good. And then after that, part of his last release, which was fucking
it was terrible,
woeful. But the Recovery, like, went back down and that was good.
Yeah, it's weird. He's kind of like, I guess when you're that big, Eminem, you don't have to be fully in the rap game.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? You can just do whatever you want because no one's going to stop you.
I don't know if he struggled because he based so much of his music on this alter ego, which was...
Slim Shady,
off his face, didn't he give a fucking...
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? But now when he came back, he's older, he's clean, he's got a teenage daughter. That's going to change your views on the world.
And plus a lot of his content, like having to do being violent toward his ex and other women in the industry, and other women, it doesn't really fit the climate right now.
The sad thing is that he got mentally healthy, and almost where all this insight came from was from a place that probably wasn't very good for him.
Yeah.
No.
You see that a lot of people that like get like, a lot of artists and like musicians that come off drugs and it just isn't the same.
No.
And that's the sad thing, because they don't have that that demon on their back maybe whispering the good stuff.
The good stuff.
That's just not, maybe I've been a bit insightful.
Speaking of good stuff, what about some bra or not? Alright, so...
I don't know, do you know what this feature is?
Yeah, we should explain.
You said kind a little bit, yeah.
Yeah.
So it's someone's bra or it's not.
That's it. Nailed it. That sounds great. Carry on.
I keep spelling it differently. I don't know if it should be naw or nah, like N-A-I.
Bra
or
naw. N-A-W.
N-A-W.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll change the...
We've got another feature called bra or nah.
Bra or nah.
If you're like saying that to America, it'll be bra or nah.
Over the American version, yeah.
So
first one is iced coffee or iced tea? Iced hot drinks. Bra or not?
I'm on board.
No.
Okay.
No, we were talking about this earlier, weren't we?
Yeah, I think that's why we got this conversation before we started recording.
Sorry. Yeah, so... First we'll go with iced coffee. A lot of people don't like iced coffee. I like iced coffee, but not with too much ice in it, because it really, really dilutes it and takes the flavor out of it, and I like strong coffee.
See, I don't. It's not my go-to. If I'm getting a cold drink at a insert coffee place here, usually one of the fruit smoothie type things they've got going on.
Love those. Yeah.
Oh, that's a crack on a cold day. Hot day, not cold day.
Hot day.
But Lipton's peach tea.
That is good. Yeah.
It's like summer in a bottle.
Peach tea, raspberry tea, raspberry Snapple. Yeah. I don't know if you can get Snapple out here anymore, can you?
You can.
You get it in Morrison's.
You get it in Delicious as well.
Oh, okay.
So you get Gatorade in there as well. They've got like a little section of sweets. And Riley always, whenever Riley gets pennies for sweeties, he's like, he goes straight to the American aisle. I was like, I'm going to have to peel you off the fucking ceiling.
Oh.
I'm with bra.
You're going bra for both?
Bra for both. Coffee and tea.
Uh, I don't drink coffee or tea, so I've never had an iced coffee.
We never discussed this at all.
Really? I've never had an iced coffee, no, but I like iced tea. I like Arnold Palmer's, man.
Yeah, that's good.
Iced tea and lemonade. So.
They're just after a round of golf, just getting Arnold Palmer.
A nice cold Arnold Palmer's, really.
And you get them in the States as well, and they come in these fucking giant cans.
Is that what, is that what we drink when we do our World Cup episode and we get pissed?
Yeah.
Get some Arnold Palmer.
I need to find out. Well, you can get the sachets as well. You get the powder sachets that you can make up in the house.
Yeah.
It's not
what booze would you, what booze would you put in that, though, you think? Vodka?
I think vodka would probably be quite nice in that, yeah.
I'll try it.
I think I would take a rum in there.
Yeah.
Rum and iced tea.
Rum and tea, huh?
Rum and iced tea.
Rum and iced tea.
What do you reckon?
Tea and coffee is not meant to be iced.
No?
No. Nah.
All right.
So that's what, two...
Bra.
No.
Nah.
You see what I'm saying?
Nah.
Bra. Raised on iced tea, coffee, I like any form of coffee. You know what they do have? It's called, ever tried a Manhattan, I think it's called a Manhattan Special. It's like carbonated coffee.
Ooh.
Would you try that? Would you dive into that?
What's a Long Island iced tea?
Well, it's just basically like a bunch of alcohols mixed in. You drink like a couple of them, they'll get you smashed. Oh, yeah.
But carbonated coffee.
Carbonated coffee.
What's that?
Manhattan Special.
Fizzy coffee.
Yeah, fizzy coffee. I would like to try it. When I go home in July, I'm going to try it.
I'm intrigued, yeah. Why are you seeing that for me? But I've got this one, right? And I get a lot of grief when I make my opinions known on this.
Oh, God.
The Great British Bake Off is shite.
Oh, that's not how we do this.
Discuss.
Change my mind. No, yeah, the Great British Bake Off.
Bra, no.
Social phenomenon. Bra, no.
I didn't
watch it.
I don't watch it, and I don't think it's bra at all.
Yes.
No.
Vindication.
What is exciting? Who in the TV executive sat around the table and had a meeting and said, do you know what? I think great primetime telly would be a bunch of fucking old women.
I'll tell you what, man.
Cutting about making cakes.
As a genius. Because everyone, apart from you three people at this table, every time I bring this up,
people getting raised.
People are like, ah, yeah. Nah, I fucking love it.
My daughters like it. They love that shit.
My missus was watching while she was cooking dinner, earlier.
Yeah.
On the iPad, walked through the kitchen. Yeah, she is watching an old episode because they're on Netflix now.
What?
So she's watching episodes back.
Oh my God.
Like,
oh, God, I'm so sorry.
You've got to take the good bit of bad. She plays computer games, she watches Bake Off.
There you go.
People love it though, because they'll come into work. People come into my job and they'll talk about it, like the next day, like it's like a huge show. Well, it is a huge show,
yeah.
But you would think that there wouldn't be that much to talk about, you know what I mean? It's just people baking cakes, but maybe there's more to it. I don't know.
I remember hearing people talking about it. I was like, that sounds bro, what he's talking about, and they're like, Great British Bake Off.
I think it's more people probably tune into it to either watch people fuck it up, make mistakes, fall out with one another, or end up
look at Paul Hollywood's teeth,
or get slated by the judges.
I'll put it around the table. What's the...
No.
No, fuck you, Great British Bake Off. You sit with Jack Black and J. Cole and take yourself
on the show. Fuck J. Cole.
Should we just make it an all TV show one? Because I just added two more on.
Well, do you want to do your one and then I'll do my ones? Or me go again?
Yeah, you go again then.
Right, I've got this one. It was exhibition games.
For any sport.
So, okay. Right, tonight was Soccer Aid, which is a big UNICEF charity event where they get England versus the rest of the world. So it's English pro, ex-pro footballers and celebrities against ex-pro footballers and celebrities from the rest of the world. And they have a game, 11 aside, rolling subs, you know what I mean? They fill out Wembley Stadium and the money goes to UNICEF.
Right.
So regardless of the charity thing, because nobody's going to say the charity.
Yeah, I was going to say.
But like, I always find it quite a polarising thing because like, I fucking love them.
Mm-hmm.
So you get to see like ex-pros or you get to see like, I know he's a total prick, but Boris Johnson played in one once and rugby tackled somebody.
Oh, yeah,
I've seen that on live TV and it's hilarious. Or I was saying to Mike earlier, the guitarist for Kasabian, Serge, mm-hmm. scored an absolute peach against the ex-England goalkeeper. So things like that, I think it's brilliant. Like, I took the wee man to one, I took Riley at Henrik Larsson's testimonial. Or whatever.
Has to get Celtic.
Oh, enough. Celtic.
Yeah. What? 58 minutes.
There we go.
It always looks like a cracking day out, man. Everyone on the pitch looks like they're having a great time. You get one ex-pro who's taking it far too seriously and sends like Jack Whitehall up in the fucking air. So, I mean, so like
Jamie Carragher or something like that.
Yeah. Yap Stam once fucked up Jack Whitehall. Brilliant. But I think they're brought. Not just obviously not for the charity, but like the actual spectacle of it, I think. It's cracking.
Can I read you what, and I saw, just, I'm glad you mentioned it because I saw this earlier on, what Roy Keane had to say about the soccer interview. So they asked me to manage the rest of the world team. I couldn't say no quick enough. Kids blowing on horns, women screaming, hell on earth. It's like a who's who of cretins. Charging folk £50 to watch John Bishop and Jack Whitehall run around like a couple of gimps on acid. It's immoral. Don't get me started on Jonathan Wilkes. Famous? For what? Wiping Robbie Williams' arse? I'm amazed that fat idiot Corder isn't involved. I don't care if it's for charity. They should be grateful they can't get ITV in Uganda. Roy Keane, 2018. Waste of time. I couldn't agree one more.
Aye.
I guess, like you say, it may be good to go with the kids, or if you want to see Eric Cantona or Zidane maybe play.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. It's more if it's like you get the thing on Sky Sports and it's like the Legends League. Yeah. And it's like we're talking about, it's like six a side.
Yeah.
But it's all ex-pro footballers. And they have like the Rangers legends, the Celtic legends, the Man United legends, the Chelsea legends, or it can be international. I just think it looks because you see these guys who are clearly no longer athletes. But they still have the ability.
They've got the touch, the first touch.
The first touch, and then so you see these guys like absolute guts on them, pulling off these worldy moves. Yeah. Trying either, so but no,
not for me, man.
Andy's just changed my mind. I'm gonna go no. Nah, for me.
Thank you, Roy Keane.
Not my sort of thing. That's so it's enough. A no for me.
That's fair. I'll take it. It's a good thing. A series links. I'll go home and watch soccer aid tonight.
Love Island, bro.
Oh my god. Oh, my God, I watched the first episode on Friday night, me and my mum, and I was like, what the actual fuck? What the actual fuck are these folk doing?
As a woman, what do you think of the guys that appear on Love Island?
Yeah.
Fannies.
Really? Good. I'm glad there's some women out there that still
think they're all right
that...
to look at, but that's it. It's like, do you know what it's like? It's like a live Barbie and Ken house.
It is.
That is what it is like.
I seen a meme the other day and it was that girls' six packs and abs might be great to look at, but have you ever tried lying on one? The dad bod is where it's at. Do you know that guy's down to binge watch TV and eat all the pizza you can?
Yeah, look at that.
Pizza in the bellies. I just think, man, I've seen none of it and I've avoided most of it. Mm-hmm. But I was in the lift and two lasses were talking about how a doctor was getting dinged for somebody.
Yeah.
And it was like, he was obviously a good looking guy, and the woman, the reason the lassie didn't go for him was apparently he was too smart. I was like, oh, these, I would love it, man.
He's so smart that he signed up for Love Island.
He wanted to break his,
man, what would you rather love, what would you rather do? Get out the NHS and walk on a show, earn 10 grand for being on the show, and then the endless fucking
live on a beach with beautiful women for about 6 months. An article,
one of these guys,
he's clearly not getting laid though, is he? That's he's true. Getting fucking KB.
Well, what's this? What's the guy? Jim Kim. I think he was on it last year.
Yeah.
I was reading an article online and it was like, he's made over £1 million in 12 months just from appearing on this show.
There you go.
I was like, doing what?
Yeah, but they probably spend it faster than the average. Yeah. So, didn't be.
He was a minus before he even started.
Yeah. Wheeled into the ice factory in a couple of years.
Thursdays.
That boy for Geordie Shore. What's his fucking name?
Gary.
Gary.
Gosh, I don't.
He's like a multi-millionaire now because he's not done it. He done the show.
Got a clothing line and shit.
Clothing line. He's got like a resort in Ibiza. Fucking, and he's like a millionaire now. Smart guy. Fuck him. So I'm going to say no, by the way, just to take one and stick it up your ass.
I'm going to say no, but then people who know me know I was going out with a girl last year who I quite enjoyed going to watch it with at nights. She used to like it, and then I would be sitting there, and I'm not going to lie to you, see, after a wee while I started getting invested in the characters a little bit in the storylines, and I was fucking mortified at myself.
Show your true colours now, Andy.
What once got me was Total Divas, and it was the fucking, it was like a reality show falling around the female wrestlers.
Oh yeah, WWE. Yeah.
And my ex used to watch. I was like, what the fuck is this bitch, look at these idiots. And then 2 hours later I'm like, I can't believe she did that. But I once heard myself saying, oh, it's Tuesday, Total Divas is on. Fucking
I used to be like that with the Kardashians, just kind of sit on the edge of the bed and be like, Jesus Christ, Scott has no idea what he's missing. He's got an angel in that.
It's
home.
So bad you get hooked on it, eh?
Well, I think that's maybe why I'm avoiding it, is because like, I know, as much as I complain about it, if I do
you get involved,
get suckered into it, I'll end up watching it.
I'm going to say,
I don't have TV, so I have no excuse.
I'm going to say, bro, just because I think that you need that stupid television sometimes to kind of help you decompress a little bit. You know, you work all day, use your brain, you come home, you want to see something that isn't very stimulating.
That's what cartoons are for.
Yeah. Cartoons are too smart too nowadays. But I'll say bro.
No. For sure.
We'll give you one.
We've got to get a bro out of you at some point, I think.
We only got one more, but I got...
I'm a hard girl, please.
I got there's...
You must be wrestling Andy.
Yeah, I was going to say. I missed that. What happened?
Why is everyone picking on me? Oh,
no picking on Andy.
This is all getting edited.
It would just be Andy is DOS. Thanks, John.
What I was going to say was, I don't like how like TV production is kind of like, hey, let's put a bunch of beautiful people on TV and they'll watch it. I don't like that. But that being said, I think it's bro. Last one, Gogglebox, bro or no?
Oh my God.
I think it's a no again.
Another one.
I remember watching a series, and I think it was the first series. And I thought, oh, this is good. And I watched two or three, and I got to the fourth one, I was like, oh, we've made that joke again. And then there was another one, I was like, ah, oh, look, that rich couple's pissed, that's funny again. And I was like, I hate all these people. We're nowhere. I was like, nah, I couldn't stick it. So, no.
See, the Geordie lassie that used to be on that, she's out making an absolute killing for herself.
What does she do now?
Presenting, eh?
Presenting.
Was she on I'm a Celebrity or something?
Yeah, yeah. She won, yeah. Now she presents it because Ant's... Okay, well, soon, Ant. But she was in a bit of controversy, her, because she was a bigger, she was never a massive, but she was a bigger lassie, and then she released one of these fitness DVDs how she'd slimmed down, but then it come out that she literally almost killed herself doing this.
Oh.
So she was doing the workout DVD, but she was also working out twice a day with personal trainers and eating under like 500 calories a day.
What?
So her DVD got exposed as a total shite, but now she's now come out and admitted it, and she's bigger, like, not as big as she was, but she's a curvier lassie, and she's like, fuck, I don't care anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
I think she had to pay back the money we gave her for the...
Ooh, saving. She probably already spent it.
Yeah. So, but Gogglebox, no.
I'd say bro. I liked it for the first wee bit that I did try watch. It was my mum that turned me on it. And I was like, oh, I'll give this a go. And then I watched them on catch-up. What I found was probably much like yourself, Jordan, after a few episodes sort of in the second season, I was just like...
It's just the same shite.
It's the same shite, and then everybody starts trying too hard.
Yeah,
because they want to be that. Starting to blow up, you know, and it's just like, nah. I'm going to say bro though,
okay,
because it was enjoyable. Yeah. Don't roll your eyes at me like that.
Well, that's that. No, bro.
I say bro.
I think it's the lowest point on television. Watching people watch television is Why the lowest thing.
Well, is it the adult equivalent of what our kids are doing nowadays on their tablet when they're watching people play games? But where are adults with that?
But at least they're skilled. Like, at least they're at the people that they're watching at the highest point in their industry. These are just people sitting around, just not even making good jokes. They're not comedians. They're just sitting there watching.
Saying that, I did love the old couple that was on it. The guy passed away last year. It was the couple fate. Was it Liverpool? June.
Oh, yeah, the old geezer.
The old guy. And I tell you what, he passed away. I tell you what, that was...
Ripping the chat, mate.
Wasn't even funny, but it was just quite nice because you could tell these two people had been sat in those chairs for like 50 years.
Yeah.
And like, their story came out, and apparently he was Jewish, she was Catholic, so they got married in secret because his family wouldn't approve of marrying a Catholic. Oh. I remember when I was reading it, I was like, that was one of the few like celebrity passings that actually got me.
The one I always liked was the family that had the dad that was German. They were all like
metal,
yeah, but they're all sitting there every week with the most fucking rank looking kebab takeaways and pizzas around. They're all fat as fuck. Every week you go in there and they've got like fucking pizzas and burgers and kebabs and everything, just sitting stuffing their face watching fucking telly, man. Good banter though. There was the son that used to go out with their daughter, but he never said a word. That was always the thing. He always just sat there. He'd never ever said a word the entire time he was on it. So.
Marsh family has
bit of knowledge for you.
Well, thank you.
What was the final tally on that?
So it's a no for me.
Three no's and a bra.
Three no's and a bra.
Three no's and a bra.
Okay. Well, we're pushing on. So why don't we get into our world famous sports segment and do the World Cup draw?
Oh yeah, I totally forgot about that. Dive in.
Beep, 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 beep.
What's the goalie doing? What's the goalie doing?
What's going down? What's going down? What's going down? What's Welcome to What's the Goalie Dame Time?
Yeah, well, so
just hanging out.
Andy has collated all of the. You want to stream it?
Oh, yeah, we can stream it.
Do the video. We have drawn the names, so some people know they're getting a team, other people have just been connected with the show and are getting a team.
Surprise!
Some people have got two teams because there's 32 teams, but we only had around about 19 entries.
Hey,
so
do with what we can with what we have. So
some people have got two teams.
If your team wins, last man standing, evidently, team that goes furthest wins, a mystery prize.
Premium mystery prize.
I will say it is not a cash prize. This is a free to enter competition. No one's making money.
We're cooking.
I wish I'd done my hair now.
This is the World Cup draw.
All right,
we're doing it from our page.
So number one is Mike Dots. Mike Dots has got two teams.
Shall
I give him the worst team first?
Yes.
So Mike, you've got the hosts, Russia.
Officially ranked the lowest team in the tournament.
Oh, that sucks.
And he's got the team with the best player in the world.
Who's
Argentina?
That?
Oh,
he's got Argentina.
Wait a minute. Ronaldo doesn't play there. Why are you saying the best
team?
Yeah, man.
See, this is the one you're mentioning. Might shit it. I don't know.
So, right. Next up is Andy Mack. And I have got Iceland and Tunisia.
Hey!
So, you're in England's group, are you not?
I'm winning fuck all.
Are they in England's group?
Tunisia are, yeah.
He's only got the best fans though. I mean, them at the Euros with a Viking clap.
Yeah.
Was about, even when they were sitting there, the whole crowd, will put the video up when they've done this. Awesome. I
saw it someplace else, yeah, but yeah. I think the Minnesota Vikings do it too.
Yeah.
It's really cool.
It's cool as fuck. But.
Jordan Patrick, you have got Sweden.
I just zoomed in really tight.
And Switzerland.
Oh, pish. Sweden and England's good?
No.
Sweden and Switzerland. Blonde hair, blue eye team you got there.
I'm definitely more Italian looking.
Shout out to my boy from Team Matty Cowan. This one's for Big Gazza Monroe. He's got Saudi Arabia and Nigeria.
They have nice jerseys this year. That's what my mom would say. Those boys have nice kids, don't they?
The Nigeria one's the best by a fucking mile.
Next up, it's Dan Williamson.
Dun dun dun.
Dun dun dun. South Korea and Senegal.
Fucking pretty rough going so far, isn't it? All the big teams are still in there, guys.
To be fair, Mike's
I'm the leader, I think, aren't I?
He's well out of Argentina. Next up, Andy Henderson.
Alright.
Andy's watching the lone person watching
the Belfast Trojan.
You've got Costa Rica and England. Is he happy about that?
He isn't written back. He may have left.
Next up, it's a single team for one of my friends, Luke Duffin. He's got Belgium, Dark Horses.
Dark Horse.
Belgium, okay.
Golden Generation and all that. Another one of my mates, Sam Wright. Young Samuel has got Mexico. Another dark horse, man.
Andy is still watching and he said, fuck. Then, unsubscribe.
Don't go!
Please don't leave.
We need the views.
Please!
Oh, next up, I've got Rana Marathon. Rana, you've got Colombia.
Ooh.
That's interesting.
And France.
Oh.
Is that good?
That's good.
I don't know much, and I know that's good.
Nice.
Your brother, Paul?
Paul.
Paul. Paul's got Denmark and Mo Salah's Egypt.
Ooh.
So
we'll see. Paul gives a fuck the least about football I've ever had in my life, but he's my brother, so he's getting teams. So
well, Mo Salah, he was on the plane and he was going there.
He's going.
But when I tried to pick him up for my fantasy team, he was still had the little cross on him to say that he was.
Oh, yeah, he wouldn't declare a fit until the time.
That's what the backups are for, like we were talking about with Rabio on that. Who's up? Your mum's next. Oh, shit, I never got my mum a team. Damn.
Oh, no.
Oh, that's all right, because I got two.
Give her
one of mine.
Give her Switzerland if you want.
I'll give her Iceland. Mum's go Iceland. Sorry, but that's really bad. Your mum's got Peru.
Peru. So's Carol.
And then Riley has got Morocco and Serbia.
Sorry, bud.
This is tough. Now, shout out to Ali Cook. Ali, we've got you a couple of teams. Long time listener.
Even though you didn't ask for them.
Yeah. You've got Uruguay and Japan.
All right. Japan's pretty good, though, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
You're all right.
Greg T.
Greg Tarby.
Tarbo.
He's got one team.
Okay.
But but he's going to be happy because he's got Germany.
Oh! See, it's all right, though, because he goes on holiday in a couple of days, so I won't have to fucking listen to him talk about it.
Well, I'm just going to go to the other... Go to my page, actually, and then hopefully people will go.
That's fine, because I've got five more to announce. I tell you what, there's some...
The annoying thing is, right, Megan's got a team in there.
Megan's got two teams.
Have we heard hers yet? No.
She's next.
She doesn't give a fuck about football either. I bet she's going to get two cracking
teams. Don't take
hers! Do you know what it is? No, because she done this last year with the Super Bowl. She'd never watched American football in her life. And she picked a team at the start of the season, knowing nothing about it. And at the end of her first season watching American football, that team won the Super Bowl.
Nice.
Yeah, but it's the Eagles, so she's doomed for it.
She just fucking loved them, man.
All right, are we ready? Crack on. Yeah. Megan, first lady of the podcast.
Chuff.
Yeah.
Chuff.
Panama.
Oh.
And Spain.
Oh. Don't switch with Jordan. Do not switch with Jordan.
Okay, because you end up listening to this and I should be like, I thought I got Switzerland and fucking Sweden.
Can I just say something that's really creepy while we continue? I just started this up and it says, do you want to tag Jordan Patrick in this video? So I think that read your face on the camera.
Oh, yeah. You have to...
Andrew Henderson commented on Mike's daughter's video of you.
He put the monkey sword fight logo up there.
Oh, right, okay.
The emojis.
That's weird.
Right, keep this moving. Yeah. Last four. Don't know, it's okay. Matt McKeown.
Yeah.
Shout out to Matt. He's got Brazil.
Oh. Bastard.
Lucky bastard, eh?
He again doesn't care about
Jesus in the
bottom. And then we've drawn a team for our guest from a couple of weeks back, Andy. I know he hasn't asked for one, but we've given him one anyway. I wouldn't get too excited, mate. It's Poland. Shouts for Lewandowski,
that's my
though.
Team.
Lewandowski.
Finally, the last two. We've got two teams for Rachel. Rachel, we've drawn you two teams.
She's going to be so pissed off as well.
Yeah, and she will be because she's got Croatia and Iran.
Oh.
Let's go, Iran.
Iran's playing first game, aren't they? They're playing first game with Russia.
No, Russia, Saudi Arabia.
Oh, that's right, yeah.
And
the two countries that hate women the most.
Last but not least... We put Roddy Bader in there. Shout out to Roddy. Roddy, we've got you a couple of teams, mate. And we got you Portugal.
Well, Greg Tarby just came on. What was Greg's team?
Tarby, you're
Germany.
Greg, you got Germany.
And Roddy's got Portugal and Australia to finish it off.
We will post, and we'll tag as many people as we can in the actual
can
thing.
Can you take a screenshot of that and then...
Yeah.
Oh, I don't know if you can make
so,
it smaller.
Like I said, there's no cash prize. However, there is a premium mystery prize for the winner. We will invite you down. We'll take photos. We'll make pizza.
You too could be on the Monkey Sword White Podcast and pick up your prize.
We will, we'll have to sort out what day we're going to sit and get drunk and do an episode while we're watching that game.
This is where all the magic happens. Andy's laptop.
I'll just go and post something on the page.
Is that probably enough sports?
There's been complaints about too much sports the last few weeks, hasn't there? Last couple of weeks.
No one said anything to me, no. I normally get all that shit because I know I don't know what I'm talking about. When I'm talking about football.
Well, I think we'll keep it to that until, because the World Cup's starting up, so we're going to have a lot to talk about. This
Yeah, we'll do that.
So we then, I don't know how we're doing. Has anybody else got any other business they want to discuss?
No, do you want to just dive into what we're
doing? Recommendations of what we're listening to, watching, or doing?
Yes. Should we start with our guest? What, anything new that you're listening to or any shows you're watching?
Love Island, I watched that on Friday.
Yeah.
You're
tonight,
no, do you know what? I hardly watch any TV.
Yeah, me too.
I hardly watch any TV. New music that I'm listening to. Nothing new.
Anything old, anything.
Yeah. What's been in rotation?
Bought Biggie's album,
Which
Out
one?
As Does.
Nice.
Is Greatest Hits.
Yes. The one with like the remixes of the new songs as well?
No.
Like there's just a Greatest Hits album.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
That'll do.
That's the latest thing I bought and nice. Been listening
to. Good place to get started.
Yeah. It is. Yeah.
Anything else?
No. I don't think so.
I bailed on 13 Reasons Why.
Did you?
You know, it was. Like, again, like I said last week, it's not written for me. But I was starting to give a fuck about the characters.
Yeah.
And I knew where it was going and I didn't need to see it, so I jumped ship out of it. I'm not down with it.
Where did you bail though? What episode?
It was like they were at a dance or something like that.
Oh, okay. It doesn't finish the way you think it's going
to
finish.
I know like the bits. Just to say that it's not going to do it. I have been watching Seth MacFarlane's new TV show, The Orville.
Oh, how was that?
It's like a Star Trek theme. There's a little bit of comedy, but like a Star Trek sort of sci-fi thing, and it's fucking brilliant.
Yeah,
it's good.
It's like it's not it's sort of like you can tell it's not Family Guy-esque. You can tell that's that vein of humour. But like some of the storylines and the acting, and they've actually put a decent bit of money into it, so like the special effects look pretty good. And they're 40-minute episodes, but I found myself quite a few times properly like guffawing at it. So yeah, definitely recommend the Orville.
He's super busy, Seth MacFarlane. Yeah. He just does so much.
Yeah, but he's fantastic because he plays the captain in the show, and he's brilliant at it. Like not just his comedy timing, but like his actual acting chops are quite good as well. That, and I've been watching a lot of Brooklyn Nine-Nine.
Yeah,
which is oh man, Andy Samberg's a genius. Not a lot of music this week. Rayleigh's been making me listen to a lot of Noel Gallagher and Oasis since I took him to see him.
Biggest weekend.
I took him to the biggest weekend. That was his first gig, so like he's been buzzing off of Noel Gallagher and Amy McDonald because she was surprisingly good.
Oh, it was brilliant, wasn't it?
It was great, absolutely brilliant. Were you there as well?
I got first class with the BBC, and it was like table service
nice.
At a festival. I was like, what the fuck?
Did you meet any of the famouses?
No.
The famouses.
No.
I'd probably agree. If I met Noel Gallagher in person, I'd probably agree. I'm not gonna lie.
Think so.
I just think he's cool as fuck. Honestly, like, just the way like, he starts the boot, man, he's a great songwriter as well. And like, he looks like he'd be great to have a conversation with because he sounds sharp as fuck.
So, you know how, like, meeting people, like, let's say you met Noel Gallagher, would you take your phone out and take a picture with him? Like, that's like the new autograph.
I was thinking about that as well, like, I think because he's come out and said he doesn't take photos with fans and he's not trying to be a dick. He's like, but like, if we're in Waitrose, if you've got something, I'll sign it for you.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't want to be sitting taking photos in a bit of a shopping centre when I've got my family there. And if you ask another person, I'll ask another person. And I was like, come on, fair fucks you, because you're one of the most famous men in the country. Mm-hmm. Maybe even so in America as well, do you know what I mean? But more so in the UK. So you didn't want to attack the crowd. But as well, it's like we're saying at the gigs, you could just say, I've met that person.
Yeah.
Because you see folk all the time, the guys, their famous person's talking, they're sitting, fiddling their phone, trying to get unlocked, and then they're fucking taking a photo.
Yeah.
I'd maybe rather have a conversation with them and just be like, look, I love this fucking song, blah, blah, blah. Thanks very much for writing it. See you later.
Yeah.
I don't know.
No. Fanboy, I think I would, I don't know, there's not many people that I would take my phone out and be like, hey, I would like, if it was like somebody I really, let's say I met Jay-Z, like, I don't think he would be cool to take a picture of me anyway, but I would tell him, like, yo, I really like your music, and then I would go around telling him, like, hey, I met Jay-Z!
Yeah.
And cry.
Tell everybody.
Yeah.
I remember I met my mate, fucking selfie again, but my mate Barry won tickets to go on do the draw at Celtic Park at half time, and he won like a trip to New York to the Celtics. So we got put in like executive box, like we got led in through the front door where the players going to the stadium, led up to this wee room maybe the size of the kitchen with a private bar, free bar. We're all suited and booted, and all these ex-Celtic players walked in, man. And a boy that used to play for Celtic called Danny McGrain, who was always a world class left back in the day, comes in, a slightly older gentleman. Walked up and said, Mr. McGrain, hiya, I'm a really big fan. My dad told me when he met Billy McNeil, who played for Celtic, won the European Cup, he couldn't speak. He was a grown man, he could not speak, and this was back in the 90s, and he got a photo with him, took it to the shop 10 days later, turns out the person at the photo had their finger over the lens.
Oh my God, kill him!
That was just like, the panic. Kids these days don't understand.
They don't, no.
But, other than that, Noel Gallagher, I've fallen back on the music. A lot of podcasts this week, but none that I haven't talked about. Andy Mack?
Not much for me, boys. I've been in the studio for what feels like forever.
Do you mean day, golf course?
No. I've played hardly any fucking golf this week. It's been shit. I've been recording a lot of stuff, so like my downtime's just been spent then editing drums, mixing fucking drums, mixing bass, getting everything prepped to go in the next day and the day after, so I've got nothing I've been watching or listening to. What a terrible, terrible answer, eh? And now I've no college, you think I'd have loads of time to do that shit.
Well, high five, man.
Yeah, man.
There you go, man.
Cheers, mate.
Mikey Dots.
First thing I've been listening to a lot, have you heard the official World Cup song with Will Smith?
No, I've only heard the unofficial one with Freddie Flintoff.
I know, I didn't listen to that one yet. You put it in our chat, I didn't listen to it.
See, if you wanted something to stab yourself in the ears with, they do an England song to the tune of Boney M's Rasputin. They do a cover of that for a World Cup song, and I've never wanted to shoot people more in the face. I've not heard this one.
No, it's really good, it's catchy, but I know by like... second week of July, I'm going to want to kill someone when I hear it.
But, he's performing at the final as well, isn't he? So he's doing like
he was doing an open ceremony. Someone was asking who's going to be there. Okay.
Have you seen the video of Will Smith taking a penalty kick?
No.
He looks like a wounded animal. Uh-huh. He just can't kick the ball. I think he falls on his arse. He just has no awareness whatsoever.
With the Fresh Prince play, he played basketball, didn't he? Yeah.
Can't be as bad as that one. Was it Aretha Franklin at World Cup 94? Where during the opening ceremony, and she literally had an open goal, and she's like 3 yards out, and she fucking
boarded it.
Fucking
Oh my god!
It's a really famous clip.
Things like that, no one wins. Just say no. Yeah. Do you want to take a penalty kick? No. Because even if you throw the best performance of your life, fuck about that. That was good, but...
Yeah, but I think the people who organise it, they're kind of like, hey, watch Aretha Franklin shank the shit out of this one. Watch this.
Is it not really funny watching folk who can't play football try and play football? Especially celebrities, then you watch them walking
Well, like, I'm going to play fives pretty soon, so if you want to get your fucking cameras... I'm dying to. I want to get that.
Let's get a game book. Like a monkey sword.
I don't want you laughing at me, though.
Anyway, I get so competitive when I play football.
I can't wait. I'm excited. As soon as my leg heals up, I'm ready.
I'm an angry, angry man when I play sports. I just can't help it. I just become an absolute arse.
Also, the Kanye West and Kid Cudi, Kid See Ghost. This is what I expected the Kanye West album to be. Yeah. It was much more, like I said last week, much more dramatic and cinematic as far as the way the music was put together. It was. I think it was very good.
I think it was all right. Yeah. I thought... If it hadn't been for Ye coming out, I would have thought this was a lot worse.
Yeah.
Saying that, I'm like sort of halfway through listening to it for the second time.
Why? Because you're comparing them, you mean?
Yeah. Okay. I think, but like you said, I think it's definitely much better than Ye.
Yeah, production on this is
I'm going to give it a couple more listens.
Yeah, it's good. I think it's really good. I like Kid Cudi a lot, though. He's like one of those artists that gets a lot of emotion out of me.
Yeah.
Out of most people, I think. Like, and I think that's pretty rare. But it's really good.
Nice.
And also... I don't know if you guys know about him. You ever heard of Black Thought? I know he's with the Roots for...
I heard his album was absolutely amazing.
Oh, man, it's good.
Who is it?
It's just rap. It's just rap. Bar after bar after bar. It's so good.
He's quite possibly the best MC in the world.
He's up there.
And he has been for
Black Thought.
Black Thought.
Yes.
I said that was such a wee guy.
Black Thought?
Sorry, I couldn't understand, sir.
Yeah, he's... I heard it on... something I listen to every week, the Joe Budden podcast, which I highly recommend. It's very funny. And they do something similar to this. I may have stole it from them. and they came up with this with Black Thought. It's called Streams of Thought. And it's very, very good. Very good.
Nice. I'm downloading it right now.
Dive in.
Well, so one thing I forgot was actually, it was the 10-year anniversary of Daniel Sack, Mr. Scroobius Pip's debut album, Angles. And I listened to that back. I know he does a lot of spoken word stuff down in Englandshire. But I re-listened to that album and that's still fucking...
Who's this?
Scroobius Pip.
Scroobius Pip?
Yeah, it was one of those... The duo. It was Dan Lissack versus Scroobius Pip. Dan Lissack.
Okay.
The first album was called Angles. And it's more that Dan Lissack's the DJ and Scroobius Pip's more the MC. But he's almost like it's spoken word over the music.
Yeah.
It's not like a rap style. It's probably closest to rap. But his first album's brilliant. And like the lyrics and the stories that come out on this album, so... Took me back to 2008.
It was recorded in Scroobius Pip's shed in Essex and in Dan Lissack's back bedroom.
Yeah, so and they've also Scroobius Pip's podcast is joined as well, but that first album was...
I've never heard them.
Oh,
just shows you can make fucking dope albums in your house.
No, it's very spoken wordy, so like that Scroobius Pip, his lyrics, his ratings are fucking brilliant, so definitely check them out if you can.
Yeah, it's funny you say that about making albums, because... I saw, I follow Chris Rock on Instagram. I think he was doing a comedy album or doing a thing for a book. And he was like, oh yeah, this was Jimi Hendrix's old studio. And I was like, yeah, that was his old bedroom, but it was like his house. They just kind of converted it into a studio, but there wasn't really anything studio-ish there. Like there was like one room with a window in it and that was it. Like a window to another room. And there was like studio equipment in there, but it wasn't really anything too crazy.
The development technology. Imagine even something like this would have been...
Yeah, that's true.
That would have been limited to a radio station years ago. Whereas now, all we need is a recorder and they match with the software on a laptop and we can go through it.
One more thing that I listened to today, I was in tears at work listening to it. You know Daniel Tosh, this Tosh.0? His comedy album is hysterical. He is very, very funny. Highly recommend it. I'm just going to find it.
I didn't know he was. It's quite... I would liken him to almost an American Frankie Boyle. he says stuff that's proper, like it's really clever and well written, but some of you are like,
oh, something that's close to born, yeah. It's called People Pleaser.
Yeah.
Highly recommend it. Yeah. It's very, very funny.
Brilliant. Well, now that we've told the people what we're enjoying, I think any other business?
Wrapping it up.
Wrapping it up. Nice. Well, Rana, thank you very much for coming on. It's
yes, thank you.
Definitely get you back home, talk about your book.
Yep.
And we'll definitely get along to the blending standout.
Yep, 6th of July.
6th of July, put in your calendars, people.
Yep.
Yeah.
Get along.
And maybe not before the next one, so this will be promoting that one, before the next one that you do in August, hopefully. Or
yeah.
You can come on again and promote it.
Once we get more listeners, we'll start doing live events.
Yeah.
Get all the, make friends with all the...
Maybe we can host an event, you know, like we can fill in with some of our...
You can do that on stage, man. You just get a couch on a stage.
People
and a
do live podcasts at all the age.
Yeah. I'm putting this thing in this time next year. We have at least one.
Can
live
you tell show. Someone to come up to us and ask us to do something? Because that's you.
I'll
just
do it.
Just direct someone.
Be, honestly, though, if anyone comes to you and speaks and you think they'd be interested for us to talk to, recommend them.
I will do.
Tell
yeah.
people about the show because, like I said, we'll share all your stuff. Any events you've got, like I said, if you've got something, we'll come along. We're on Facebook. Monkey Sword Fight Podcast.
Yeah, please email like our Facebook page.
We even giving out the email today?
Yeah, monkeyswordfightpodcast at gmail.com.
Oh, boom, boom, boom.
Send us emails. I'm on Twitter at monkeyswordpod.
I'm on Twitter at _mdats.
I'm at Macapella. Are you on Twitter?
No. I'm on Instagram.
Ran a marathon.
On Instagram and Facebook.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much. As I say, find us on Podbean, iTunes, Monkey Sword Fight Podcast.
Please subscribe on iTunes and stop listening through Podbean. I mean, that's the only way you're going to listen. That's cool, but subscribe, please.
Thank you very much. Take care, and we'll speak to you next week. Peace.
Peace.